Marshall Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's been a long time since the Bears have had an offense that fans could get excited about. Signs from the defense in recent years, but can they get the offense? Pretty good start to this one. It's another tight end in Cole Kmet. All the way out near the 45-yard line, a gain of 28.
Yeah, so take a look here. You got two high safeties. They're going to push, and he's just going to run right down, run a middle bender. Just runs right by the Mike linebacker, and that's something that they really are harping on with Caleb Williams. Last year, it was a lot of improv. It was a lot of playing off script. And that pass to Kmet, that back foot hits the ground. Ball is out on time, accurate, and allows for a lot of run after catch. That's really well executed there by Caleb Williams.
That was courtesy of Fox, and it was so nice to hear things like too high coverage being understood, Cole Kmet being involved in the offense. That was a welcome discussion from Joe Davis and Greg Olson. And that said, we are joined now by one of our favorite guests here on Midday Show on 670 The Score. This is Raheem Ian Harris broadcasting live from Circa Resort and Casino at Stadium Swim. It is Sam Munson of the 33rd team. He is on the Check the Mic podcast. Sam was at Bears practice last week, and your pool outfit is a W. Sam, I know you just said that you're not used to constant heat like this, but you dress perfectly.
Look, as an Irishman, we're not built for the sun. We're built for overcast, rain, you know, cold temperatures. So, yeah, I'm experimenting now with a bit of sunshine.
It's right there, Sam. How long could you last in that sunshine here in Las Vegas?
With no hair, with the bald head being what it is, I think we've got about 48, 40, you know, 49 seconds before we're just...
I thought you were going to say 48 minutes.
No. We're under a minute, definitely.
We'll get you a bucket hat and run right out there.
So, wait, what are you doing to brush off the melancholy weather, though? That's the key. I need to know that answer as well.
Well, that's the problem. Yeah, it's dreary. You know, my wife keeps wanting to move back to Dublin. I'm like, I don't want to go where, you know, 4 out of 5 days is raining.
All right. Okay.
Just take her to Seattle. She'll feel right at home.
Yeah, there you go. We're happy to talk to you, of course. And I know we just brought this up to you in the break. I think it's probably worth mentioning just out of the gate. The news about Brian Robinson, who was a discussion for, I think, a lot of Bears fans, because we're still trying to figure out their running back room.
Yeah.
Reports say he's going to the 49ers. Commanders do end up trading him running back. What do you think about that move? And do you think he also, based on what you've seen, could have fit in on the Bears?
Yeah, first and foremost, I think he would have been a good fit for the Bears. He's an interesting player. I kind of like Brian Robinson. I think he's a good football player. He's definitely a better running back for a gap type of scheme, you know, a power scheme, teams that like to pull offensive linemen. He's really good running in those systems. For whatever reason, the new regime in Washington didn't really like him that much. It makes sense. You know, they want to run more of a spread type of offense. They want to run a lot of those zone plays. So it kind of makes sense that he was dropping down that depth chart. From their point of view, getting a straight sixth-round draft pick for a guy that was probably going to get cut because of that is good business. Like, look at all the other trades that are happening right now. They're pick swaps, you know, whereas they got actually just a new draft pick, albeit a sixth. So it's good business from Washington's point of view. San Francisco being the team to bite, though, is kind of intriguing because we think of Kyle Shanahan's offense as, you know, a true zone type of system. Now, it's evolved over the last few years. They're running a lot more gap and power stuff than they did in the past. But still, this is supposed to be, you know, Christian McCaffrey redemption season. And yet they go and bring in a guy like Brian Robinson who wouldn't, you know, be an immediate automatic fit in that offense.
The running back position is so interesting because it's devalued by a lot of people, but then the special ones are special, and you're trying to figure that out. Clearly, Washington thought he was Jag, just another guy, and they didn't want to pay him what he was owed. And that makes perfect sense. I'm wondering, since you were at Bears practice last week and you understand their situation, would you be comfortable with what they have in the running back room, knowing Ben Johnson's at the helm going into the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, you look at their practices, they don't seem to have a difference maker there, but I think they've got a lot of guys that can be productive. So, you know, this feels like a season where maybe they'll roll into the year with what they have. They'll see which of the guys kind of emerges and, you know, outperforms the other one. And then maybe next offseason they go looking for, like, a real alpha that can either propel this group forward or be the true number one in the backfield.
I think also I appreciate how you're able to not just fess up to some sins or like some miscues. I know you famously will always say, I liked Mitch Trubisky. You own that one. Is there any opinion you have of the Bears now that either makes you that way where you think, oh, something I thought previously isn't the case, whether it's Ben Johnson or what, but do you have something like that now after what you've seen both in a couple games and then the practice you observed?
No, I think it's just interesting watching them. Like, we were there for the Bills-Bears joint practice, and I think the Bears had the better of both sides of the ball during that practice. Their offense was definitely the better unit against Buffalo's defense. I think their defense was better than the Bills' offense as well. That one, though, felt a little bit like, you know, Josh Allen was just trying some stuff. Like, there were some throws he was making where it's like, I don't think Josh Allen even attempts that throw in the regular season. He was just seeing what he could get away with. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't get away with some of them. Like, Jaquan Brisker was everywhere in that practice. So, the Bears are going to be a fascinating team this year. Like, I think they have quite a broad range of outcomes. They could be with the best teams in that division, or they could still be the fourth best team in the division if it doesn't all come together quickly.
If it's not the Bears, who do you think the fourth best team in the division is? I'm fascinated by the way this division is going to play out.
I mean, you look at those things, and it's like, what are the odds of various things? The Vikings are the other team that have the biggest swing because it's all J.J. McCarthy. You know, if he's good, the Vikings could be as good as Detroit. They could be another 14-win team again. They've gotten better in a lot of different areas. If he's bad, though, they could be the worst team in the division. That's, you know, that's one player, if he's the quarterback, has that kind of power to swing the results.
What about the offense did you see? I know we just had the play, our producer Tyler played of Cole Kmet. You know, and we know he was MIA last year, and I don't think that was his fault. What else about the Bears offense did you like out of what you saw?
I think you're going to see a lot of two tight end formations for this team. I think you're going to see both those guys involved, Loveland and Cole Kmet. The receiver room, I think, is deeper than people were giving him credit for beforehand. It didn't quite work this time a year ago, but I don't think that was necessarily the wide receiver's fault. DJ Moore was kind of anonymous for most of the game, but we know he's a good player. I think they have a decision to make about whether they want to, you know, cash in on him. Maybe he's not a fit. They can turn it over to a guy like Luther Burden and, you know, expect him to be a starting player for this offense. Or if they want to just say, look, the depth is great, let's keep them all involved. We know DJ Moore can be a playmaker. Let's embrace the fact that we can be 3-4 guys deep. Zacchaeus was a big part in that practice and then was a big part in the game as well. He's a guy that consistently shows up everywhere he goes. He could be an underrated weapon for the offense. And then Luther Burden's just going to be such a fascinating playmaker. I mean, everybody's concerns about him at draft time were not really on the field related. It was, you know, attitude, it was want to, and yet we're seeing him go to work. We're seeing him get down and dirty in the red zone blocking, not, you know, making plays as a receiver. Obviously, he's got that talent. Everybody knows that, but he's doing the dirty work that's going to get him on the field to then get those catches, show that run after the catch stuff. So I think this is a really exciting group of playmakers for the quarterback to work with.
Highly motivated is what he looks like.
Yeah.
When you talk about Luther Burden III.
And that was the question to answer, right? Like, that was everybody's issue with him is, you know, is he going to want it enough to show this talent? Right now, he looks like he does.
Okay, so we've got the NFC North, which I think is the best division in the NFC. On the other side, I love the AFC North, and Layla's probably going to roll her eyes here, but that's okay. I have a question.
I'm smiling.
What do you say? I'm just saying, in anticipation, because you know where I'm headed. What do you think of the ceiling for the Pittsburgh Steelers with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback?
I think the ceiling is Super Bowl, but I don't think it's necessarily because of Rodgers. I think that defense might be the number one defense in the NFL this year. That defense might be good enough to carry average offensive play to a Super Bowl. Like, that's how good I think that unit can be. So I don't even think Rodgers needs to play well for that team to be a Super Bowl contending team. If he does, gravy. It's, you know, it's added bonus on top of it. But that defense could be nasty.
You have to tell him now.
So I was ridiculed. I was harassed because I said,
By me.
When they signed Aaron Rodgers, I was like, oh, they have competent quarterback play. Not even great quarterback play, but a quarterback who is now 2 years removed from an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
As if you follow sports, you understand the second year back is always the year where you see what the player really is. Mike Tomlin's still the head coach.
Yeah.
Last I checked, he's never had a losing record, and that's been with some bad quarterback play. Tell me why their ceiling shouldn't be Super Bowl.
Agree.
And everyone just got on me. But to have an expert like Sam Metz to come on our show and validate everything I've been saying, we're going to be running that back a lot.
I just said Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills might have something to say.
Absolutely.
About
look, I don't. Their ceiling is Super Bowl, but their floor, I think, is pretty low as well. Like, if the Rodgers thing implodes and it doesn't work well and like not even on the field necessarily, but the personalities. You know, if him and Tomlin clash,
absolutely,
the whole thing could implode and spiral out of control and blow up, and you might get the first losing season from Mike Tomlin. But absolutely, I think the ceiling could be Super Bowl.
Love it.
I think based on the potential, and you know, coaches love potential. That's what it's all about for a lot of them. I feel like that's true. I do have a cognitive dissonance knowing the Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills exist.
Yeah, like they're not like, favorites or anything. You know, it would be tough, but we're talking about what's the best possible outcome for this team. I think the best possible outcome has to include the Super Bowl.
Okay, you're close to this situation. Trey Hendrickson, will he be a Cincinnati Bengal this season?
I feel like he has to be. It's such a mess. Like, it's such a preventable shoot-yourself-in-the-foot situation that they've gone through, but they have to get him in the building. Like, they can't trade him away now. That would be ridiculous. The time to do that was March, you know, not now when you can't do anything with the picks that you bring in. That's why, you know, the rumors were any trade deal has to involve a defensive player because you need something back. But, look, he's your best defensive player. You paid all the money to keep Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins in the building. Like, you need the one good defensive star you have. Get him as well. Just get it done. You know, I understand it's tricky because at his age, you know, you're worried about when that decline starts to come for a pass rusher. But, you know, you just got to make it happen now.
We talked a lot last year, Sam, and we're talking to Sam Munson of the 33rd team. Happy to do so here on Raheem and Harris on the Score from Circa. So, Sam, I talked to you, I think we've talked a lot about, like, whether or not you think, for example, a ceiling like the Steelers is good, whether or not the NFC North is the best division in football. We said it a lot last year, and I feel I said it a lot last year, and then I reassessed after the playoffs. And I know that the Lions had so many injuries, you know, 16 players, I believe, on injured reserve off the top of my head last season. How do you think this shakes out now? Who do you think is the best division in football?
I think the contenders you just talked about are two of them. The Norths, both sides, AFC, NFC North, are two of them. The AFC West, I think, is probably going to put itself back in that conversation.
All right.
You know, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. The Jim Harbaugh-led Chargers last season showed they were moving in the right direction. The Broncos could be very good this year. And the Raiders, they took a massive jump forward between Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. That's the two most important positions in that organization. Got massively better in the offseason. Maybe Geno Smith is, you know, there's a level to him that he's not, you know, he's not a Mahomes. He's not going to be in that elite tier, but he's good. And they haven't had good quarterback play in a while.
Yeah, his floor is high enough to see Pete Carroll do what he wants to do.
Right.
And especially when you look at who they have at running back now. I'm interested to see what that looks like with Ashton Jeanty.
Well, also, I think there's a reason he got comeback player of the year a couple of years ago. I brought it up a lot just because Shane Waldron, you know, was the offensive coordinator last season. But I do feel that way. And I think, I don't know that you can say the exact same for a guy like Sam Darnold, for example. But you definitely have a example now when it comes to what a quarterback who was previously thought of as just serviceable can do on a really good team with a good coach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, everyone's looking for the new Mahomes, right? The next Mahomes, the next superstar, the next guy that can do everything. But there's a whole world of quarterbacks in the NFL who belong in the NFL, who belong as starters, who are not Mahomes, but can still play really well if you give them a good enough situation around him. Whether it's, you know, you basically got three pillars, right? You've got the offensive line, you've got the receiving core, and you've got the coach. Those are the three ways you can help a quarterback out. And if you have a situation where all three of those things are good, you can turn Sam Darnold into a guy that wins 14 games and, you know, looks like a star.
Imagine what you can turn the number one overall pick into when you have all three.
When
of those
you have
things.
An offensive line, a better receiving core, and a good coach, I feel like that
We're
might be happening.
About to find out.
Sam is going to be talking on part of a panel as well. He's part of Circa Football Preview Panel on Saturday from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Time, Vegas Time, here from the Galaxy Ballroom on Level 3 inside Circa Resort in Casino. Admission is free. It's free to hear the panel and hear Sam. Go to CircaVegas.com for more details. What can you tell us about that?
Very little, other than I'm on it and they'll be talking.
I'll be answering questions.
You just get to cut.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're doing what you're doing here, for example.
They gave me the ask. I said, sure, no problem. And then I'm rocking up with the same as everyone else to find out what's going on Saturday.
Awesome.
Sounds like a good time. Stay out of the sun between now and then. How
Definitely,
about that?
Absolutely.
One hot minute. That's what Sam's got for the sun. Thank you so much for joining us, Sam. We always appreciate it.
No
Thanks,
problem.
Sam.
Thanks
appreciate it.
That's Sam Munson of the 33rd team. You know him as a constant guest on Raheemian Harris on 670 The Score. We love having him. And he is waiting in the wings. I see him. I think he's got to take a victory lap on his predictions for at least last year's outcome. Yeah. Sean King, the QB, joins us next here from Circa on The Score.